I'm going to tell you, young people, something which you will find very hard to believe. Something that you will say, no, surely not. In a way, although you know it really, but you really don't want to think about it. And this is it. I'm going to be really straight with you. You're not going to live forever. You're not going to live forever. You may feel like you are. You may feel like you'll never be like one of those old people without looking at any particular person. You may feel that will never be your funeral. The fact is, we must all die. I suppose, in a way, I find it difficult to believe. When I was a youngster, I grew up in a little hamlet. It wasn't really a village, just a little hamlet. And we had our neighbours, and they were always there. They didn't seem to change, as far as I was concerned. All the while I was growing up, they were always the same neighbours. Okay, one or two did die, but we didn't know them very well anyway. But the others, it just seemed as though time just stood still. Those who were old had always been old. Had always been 65 or 75, whatever. There'd never been anything else. But it's not really how life is it? Now I find that I'm getting towards the age that they were when I was living next door. The fact is, we must all die. That's a certainty in life, isn't it? What is not so certain is how or when. If you go on the internet, you can find out when you're going to die. Now, there are internet sites, I don't know if you've been on any of these, that they're life expectancy calculators, they call them. And you've got the death clock, or you've got countdown to death, those kind of things. And all you've got to do is put in simple questions. You know, things like your age, your gender, you know, some about your lifestyle, whether you smoke and that kind of thing. And it will tell you how long you have to live. They do have a little rider on it, or one of them does. The countdown to death one says, the figures projected by the calculator are only for guidance purposes and are by no means guaranteed. You don't know, do you, the day of your death? But the death clock says, or calls itself, the internet's friendly reminder that life is slipping away. And that's a serious matter. Life is slipping away. You're not going to be here forever. The fact is, you will die. A lot of people don't think about it. They don't want to think about it, and I can understand that. Who really wants to think about it when there's life to be lived? But we need to come to face with it. I don't want to be morbid. I want to challenge you as to how you live your life in the light of the fact that it's not going to be here forever. I want you to have a healthy, realistic view of your life. So I want to be positive, really. It may not sound very much like it, but I want to be positive. But a lot of people don't think about this. They don't recognize that they're going to die. They live as though they're going to live forever. Until maybe they're old and tired and they just want to slip away because they can't cope with it any longer. And so some people do risky things. And you get I don't know how many of you can drive, but you know, as soon as they pass their test, they're going to be rip-roaring around the country lanes at 75 miles an hour, and they think, it's never going to happen to me, I can handle it, so we're going to be all right. You watch the films, and you know, your film star, you know, he gets shot, he gets blown up, whatever it is, but he always comes out of it again, and you think, that's going to be me. It's never going to happen to me. Think about the German plane that crashed a few weeks ago, that co-pilot deliberately hitting the Alps. Just think of the people, somebody took a video inside the plane in those last moments. Just imagine being on that plane. It's nosediving. You know there's no way out. You know that within moments, that plane is going to crash. You are going to die. Reality sets in as it never has before. We live as though it was never going to be that day for us. Just imagine that's you suddenly realizing that life is coming to an end. You only live once. So how are you going to live your life? Would it make a difference if you knew how long you'd got to live? Now, for some, it's a case of well, I only live once, so I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to cram in as much as I can. I'm going to travel, I'm going to buy this and have that and do the other, have as much experience as possible, have as much pleasure as I possibly can, try everything out. Or I'm going to work hard, I'm going to build, and I'm going to achieve as much as I can, and I'm going to make as much money as I can in the time that's available to me. Or others might say, I'm going to just do all the good I can. I want to make my mark in the world. Maybe they want to be remembered. And say, well, I'm going to try and do something that my name will go down in the history books. How are you going to live your life in the light of the fact it's only for a time? What will count in the end? Will it matter how much money you have acquired? Now, there is the old phrase that the one who dies with the most toys wins. The one who's managed to accumulate the most stuff, and then you leave it all behind. It might be buried with you, like the old pharaohs and all their treasures buried with them in the pyramids, but it was only food for the thieves who came along later on and took it away again. Didn't do them any good at all. Doesn't matter how much you traveled, how many countries you've seen. It's a great thing, nice to travel. But does it really matter in the end whether you've never left Stowmarket or whether you've traveled to the far ends of the earth? Does it matter really how much fun you've had? Great to have a nice life, isn't it? Great to do those things. Not saying it's wrong, but at the end of the day, is that the thing that really counts? The one who has the most fun is the winner. What we need to think about is what happens after we die. There's a poster outside of our chapel, and this is what it says. If you died tonight, where would you be tomorrow? Where would you be tomorrow? Oblivion? Do you just cease to exist? Many would love it to be so. Great just to go to sleep and never wake up again, never know anything about it. And they love it to be so because there's no accountability. No matter what they've done in their life, no matter how what terrible things they might have done, it doesn't matter anymore. It's all finished. Death is the great fire exit. Escape from responsibility, from worry, from pain, whatever else it might be. And that's why some people sadly take their own lives, because they think it's an escape. Is it a door to a better place? Now, many people like to think that. We lose someone we love and think, well, they must be in a better place. If there is something else, it must be better than this. What does the Bible say? What does God say? Well, this is what God says. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We can't escape accountability. When we die, we're going to come into God's judgment court. Indeed, it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be the judge of all the earth. Now we are reading from Luke 16. We read of two men. And they're different things that happened to them. One went to heaven. The other went to hell. There is a judgment to come. And there are only two possible outcomes of that judgment. Every aspect of your life will be examined. No stone will be unturned. And those who are not fit for heaven will be consigned to hell. And hell is a terrible, terrible place. Remember what that man said? He pleaded with Lazarus, who he could see in heaven. He pleaded that he would dip his finger in water so he could come and cool his tongue with a drop of water. He pleaded that Lazarus might go back to earth to warn his brothers that they won't come to that place. It's an awful place to be. But those who are not fit for heaven will be consigned to hell. And who is fit for heaven? Who has kept all God's laws? Well, I don't know what you do to earn pocket money. But I used to go blackcurrant picking. I went from as time immemorial because my mum just took me. But I started picking blackcurrants perhaps at the age of 6, 7, something like that. And but there's only one outcome. You know, you got your bucket, 12-pound bucket, what's that in 5 kilograms or something like that, and you fill it up with black currants. It took hours and hours. And then you drag it to the tractor where the scales were on the back, on the trailer there. And you would haul it up, put it on the scales, there'd be a 12-pound weight on the other side. If it didn't go down, they said, you've got to go back and pick some more. It wasn't, well, actually, you're only 6, so it doesn't really matter. No, it's only £10 in your bucket, but that, you know, will let you off. It isn't that, well, you've got more than half. More than half is a pass mark. The pass mark was £12 of black currants. And if you didn't have £12 of black currants, your bucket was rejected. God's standard is that we should love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we should love our neighbor as ourself, not just your next door neighbor, but anybody and everybody. Not just those who love you, but those who don't love you. Who has kept those two commandments? What place has God had in our lives? How much we thought about Him? How much we wanted to please Him? How much we loved Him? How much do we love other people? What if everything you said and thought about other people was recorded and played back? Well, I've got a surprise for you. My next slide is the record of your life. Everything you've said and thought and done, well, no. If it was, you'd be getting very hot and feeling very uncomfortable and thinking, where's the quickest exit? Well, I would if it was my life was on that slide. Has our life really stood the test? Do you think Christ, when He looks at your life, will be pleased and say, well done, you've kept the commandments. You've got your £12 bucket full. You have fulfilled all that I required of you. You've lived the life that you are supposed to live. Will He be pleased? Will our bucket hold water, to use another expression? It only takes one leap, isn't it? One hole. Judgment is coming. That's not good news. You and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So you will be judged. Sorry, I should have put the one up before. Every one of us will be there, without exception. So just 3 things to say about this. The first thing is get ready for death. That should be our first priority in life. If you want to live life, if you want to positively live life, you need to get ready for death. That's the first thing. You must be saved from the judgment to come. When John the Baptist started out, just before Jesus came on the scene, his message was, flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the judgment to come. You need to be saved from that. That was Jesus as well. Repent, he says. Turn from these things. And you may say, well, what a solemn and hard message. But if I were to see you just about to step onto a crumbling cliff and go sailing over 300 feet down to the rocks below, what would I do? Would I just say, oh, never mind, it's up to them. Now I'd be warning you, I'd be shouting, don't stand on that bit, you'll fall. And that's why we need to be warned about the judgment. It's so important, it's so urgent. Because any day we will face that judgment. We mustn't close our eyes to it. You will be there and I will be there. You know what it's like when you're at school or college? You're given an assignment. And the teacher or tutor, whoever it is, says, no, you've got till the 20th of May to finish this assignment. And, oh, that's ages away. It's weeks away. Or maybe it'll be the 20th of June. Make it weeks away. And you say, oh, I'll do other things first. Oh, I really want to watch this on the telly. I really want to do that. I really want to play sport. I really want to go out with my mates. And you leave it and you leave it. And then it kind of dawns on you. You can't escape the date when it's going to be handed in. 20th of June is getting close. And so there's a last minute rush to get it done. And we tend to do that with death as well. We leave it and we leave it and we leave it. We don't know when the deadline of our lives will be, though. That's the trouble. We can't say, I'll leave it for a few years and then I'll think about it. Let me have fun first. I'll leave it till I'm old and decrepit and then I'll think about it. As I said, I grew up in a hamlet. There were not many children. There was my family, three of us. Another family down the road, three of them, and I think one other boy. We didn't have much to do with. He was a bit younger than me. But one of the boys I was friends with was 6 weeks older than me. And so we grew up together, spent a lot of time playing together, doing things together, and so on. I'm here. He's not. He died in a motorbike accident at the age of 19. You can't say I'll leave it for a few years. So how can we be saved? How can we get ready for death? That's the question, isn't it? Well, the Bible goes on. I haven't written it down here, but the Bible goes on. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. The very Christ who will one day judge us once came in love to die for us. Now, God isn't a harsh God. He's not a God who loves to condemn people. He's not a God who delights in casting people into hell. He's not like that. He's a God who saw where we're heading because that is what our sins deserve, and he came to do something about it. He left heaven to rush down into this world to lay down his life. You might be saved, and that I might be saved. He who knew what we deserved, what our sins deserve, said, I'm going to come and take that punishment instead. He came to die for us upon the cross, to bear that punishment instead of us. There we go, there's the cross there. Just imagine being Jesus Christ, the Son of God, worshipped by the angels, living in glory, and coming to a world like this, to live a life that was a hard life, not a comfortable life in some palace, but a hard, difficult, gritty life, is often in danger, living in poverty, life with many sadnesses and sorrows, and then going to the cross, taking upon himself the blame for what things that we have done, going as a sacrifice in our place. He who had never sinned. Being nailed hand and foot to a cross of wood. To suffer and die. And to bear heaven's judgment. To bear what justice requires. To suffer for our sins. Intense suffering. That is what Jesus came to do. And he rose again to prove that the job was done. And one day he's coming again to receive all who trust in him. He's coming not to judge them, but to save them, to bring them to heaven, to eternal life. If we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved from the judgment to come. This is the gospel message. Christ can save you freely. He is able and he is willing. And he bids you to come. He invites you to come to him. Just come as a sinner. Come asking him to save you. Say, Lord, I know that I face the judgment. I know I've sinned against you. I know I have failed. I have broken your commands. I haven't lived as I should have lived. But Lord, you came to die for people like me. Will you take away my sin? Will you receive me back? Give me peace with God. Save me from that judgment. Make me your own. Forgive me. Make me a new person. And Jesus Christ will save you. Don't shut your eyes to the future, young or old. Don't pretend it will go away. Put your faith in Christ. That's the answer. That's how to get ready for death. The second thing is use your life well. Maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you're already prepared for death. You've trusted in Christ. He is your Savior. You know that you're forgiven. But you know you're not here forever either. How should you use your life? Christ has done so much for you. He's loved you. He's saved you at great cost. He's called you to live a new life now. And yes, in a sense, you will be called to account as well. You won't be condemned for your sin, because that's been dealt with. But he's eager to reward a life that has been lived well. And surely after all he's done for us, we want to use the time we have to good effect, to please him. We want to meet him with joy. Saying, Lord, I've tried to serve you in this life, not to earn his favor, but just because we really wanted to. You've only got one life to use. One life to bring to Christ at the end. What are you going to do with it? What are you doing with it? Fast forward to the last day of your life, whenever that might be. You're there, maybe lying in a bed thinking, it can't be much longer now. And you're reflecting upon your life. What sort of life would you like to look back upon? What will count then? Will it be a life of regret? Or a life when you say, well, I've tried to serve you, Lord. I've run the race, fought the fight, kept the faith. What will count then? Will it be money? A great career? All the fun you've had? As I say, not to say those things are wrong in themselves, but will that be the thing that's filled your life? Will you want to look back on a life that's been lived simply the passing things of time, what you can accumulate here, chasing shadows, grasping for the wind? Would you like to look back on a life that's been lived for me, for my pleasure? Will you want to live a life that's would you like to look back on a life that's been idled away, watching DVDs and films and idled away on Facebook and Twitter? Texting for hours every day, absorbed for endless hours in some trivial hobby. I'm not saying that any of these things in and of themselves are wrong things to do, but have they just taken over our lives? Is that what life has all been about? How many friends can I get on Facebook? Or will there be something more substantial? Something that will count for eternity? Will you be able to look back on a life that's been lived for Christ? Yes, you may have passed by some of the things of this world because you wanted to spend your life for Christ. Will you be able to look back on time well spent, money well used, a life that should have been lived in the ordinary things of life in a way that is right, pleasing the Lord and the attitude you go about your work or whatever it might be? Will you be able to look back on a faith that's been really lived out? And if you want to look back on a life like that, don't wait. Don't say, well, you know, when I leave school, when I leave college, when I get a bit older, when I've done this, that, or the other, then I'll begin to do those things, because it'll never happen. If you leave it for some indefinite time in the future, it'll be too late. You'll look back on a wasted life. Start now. Just as Stephen was saying, you know, he wants to serve the Lord in the work of the young people. And it may be in some official church role. It may be just helping that neighbor. Maybe just serving Christ in this way or that way. And the last thing I want to say, have a heart for evangelism. This is an important part of how we live for Christ. Just look around you. Look around at your friends. Look around at the town where you live. Look around at your family. They will all die one day too. They will all face the judgment one day too. Do they know it? Do they know how to escape? Do they know that there is a Savior? Without Christ, they're on their way to hell for eternity. Who will tell them? Will you tell them? Or do you let them go? Will you reach out to them? Will you look for some opportunity to speak to them? Will you pray that the Lord will give you opportunity to speak of the Lord Jesus? Because I know there's a right way and a wrong way of going about things, isn't there? But pray, Lord, I really want to speak to these people. I really want to tell them that they need you. Will you help me to do that? Will you give me some opportunity? I was working in a polling station on Thursday. Over 1,500 people came in through those doors through the day. And it made me think, how many churches see this many people coming in? How many churches in that town, if you put all the churches together, would they see anywhere near that many people coming in? How many of those people who have come in have ever even heard of the gospel? And that was only half the number of adults in that town. How few people are hearing the gospel? And yet tomorrow there may be an eternity. Tomorrow there may be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Without a Saviour. The gospel's urgent. Are we eager to tell people? I know it's not easy. I don't find it easy. We're not all gifted evangelists, so that we were, but we're not. We may be able to say something. Even if it's only telling them what Christ has done for you. Why he's important to you. What you believe. You don't have to be a great theologian to say that. You may be able to invite someone, yes, to FOY, to some other evangelistic event. Give them a leaflet to tell them of Christ. You know, if you had just come across some new free app to download on your phone, would you be telling all your mates, go on, get this app? Well, we've got something far more than an app, haven't we? We've got Christ. We've got a Saviour. Now, people may not always want to hear, but at least we've tried. Not just because we feel guilty if we don't, but because we care. That's what it's about. Do your friends know that you care about their souls? I speak so plainly tonight because I care about you, even if I don't know you all. We come back to this, where we started. You're not going to be here forever. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready for eternity? It's a reality you can't get away from. Can you die in peace if you were to die tonight because you are trusting Christ? Because you have come to him who came to save sinners like you? If you die tonight, where will you be tomorrow? I urge you to seriously think, to turn to Christ. And if you're concerned, if you want to know more, please, please talk to somebody, FOY leader, the pastor here, himself, whoever. Don't leave it. They'd be more than happy to talk with you. I don't want to distract ourselves this evening with a final hymn. I just want to come to prayer and leave it with you. Lord God, we pray that you would impress your word upon us. Lord, we have sinned. We have gone wrong. We have brought upon ourselves the danger of judgment. Lord God, we thank you that you have provided an answer in Christ. The answer. Oh Lord, we pray that you would open the eyes of any who yet have not seen it. Lord, you would show them that they need the Saviour. Have mercy, we pray. Amen.